Welcome to the One Prez Pod and Season 2 of You're Using It Wrong with me, Phil Blackburn, and my good friend Stephen Martin. During the month of May, we will talk about ways where Christianity in America might be slightly off track and how we think it might best be fixed. Join us. Well, hello again, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the One Prez Pod and this season of You're Using It Wrong.
Were we supposed to do that together?
No, I was just doing it. It's me, Phil Blackburn.
And me, Stephen Martin.
Yeah, we're back, Stephen.
Yeah.
And you got more than 1.5 hours of sleep last night.
Golly, I feel so much better. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how much better you sleep when your child decides to sleep in their own... Well, not decides, but...
Is forced.
Has to sleep in their own bed.
Effectively forced. Yeah. That's the trick.
And that never happened. That never happened. That's just a recent thing. Mm-hmm. So we're all learning.
Yep. Yep. And that'll be our podcast in June, is sleeping tricks for people with toddlers and young children.
Dads and Jesus. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Promise keepers are back, baby.
Woo-woo!
All right, Stephen. So, for those new to the podcast, we kind of kick around some stuff we see in popular American Christian culture and maybe think to ourselves, what?
Yeah.
You know? So, you've got a new topic for us this week. And I don't know what the topic is, by the way. So, this is always fun. You're hearing it as I hear it.
Yeah. So, if you don't know... Every time we sit down to do this, Phil adamantly says, I don't want to know beforehand. Mm-hmm. So this is all a surprise.
It's all a surprise. Yeah. So it's organic.
Yeah. Well, let's go with surprise. All right. Right. That's kind of what we're working with here.
All right.
So we're going to talk about predestination.
Mm.
And so the surprise part of it is I grew up hearing that... God gave us free will, and so effectively that means that he knows the outcome, but he doesn't push anything on you, and so you get to decide which road you take. Mm-hmm. Yet, there's another field of belief that says that everything is preordained, or there's at least a predestination part of it. And so this part... Not only is confusing to me just because of how I was raised, but also it gets kind of dicey whenever you talk denominations.
Yes.
Anytime you're talking cross-denominational, it gets really muddy in this area as far as what I've seen. Mm-hmm. Anytime I brought it up, it was, they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
So what is predestination?
So the classic definition of predestination is that God chooses who and who will not be saved.
Right.
Now that choice, the notion of choice, is complicated.
Right.
So if you believe that God knows everything, right? And if you believe God is all powerful, right? Can do anything.
Right.
Then whatever outcome you have in your life related to salvation is effectively God's choice. Because of that power and that foreknowledge. It's also scriptural in the sense that you can go with a very literal passage in Romans 8, where Paul writes, those whom he predestined, he also foreknew. Very clearly uses that language. Also, if you go through the Gospels, one thing you'll notice is that the disciples are built around people Jesus calls. And the people that come to Jesus and say, I want to follow you, almost inevitably end up being turned away.
Oh, okay.
So if you think about like, Jesus, I want to follow you, but I need to go bury my dad first. What does Jesus say to that guy?
Yeah,
Let the dead bury their own dead. Yeah. Have fun with that, right? Or the rich ruler who's like, I want to follow you. Jesus says, well, sell off all of your possessions, and he can't.
He's like,
goes away sad and can't do it.
Yeah.
On the other hand, Jesus walks up the shore of Galilee, walks up to James and John, is like, follow me. And they're like, okay.
Cool.
Right? Then if you go back to the Old Testament, the Hebrews didn't volunteer for this.
Right.
Abraham didn't volunteer for this. Abraham was selected. So there's a long history in Scripture of God acting proactively. Even Paul...
Right.
I wouldn't say he had any choice, at least in his own mind. He didn't choose this.
Right.
It was something to which he was called. Mm-hmm. The word in Greek that is translated as church is ekklesia, which literally translates as the called out ones.
Interesting. Is that where Ecclesiastes comes
from? Well, no. I don't know. I don't know. Let me just say I don't know. That would, you know, I don't know if that's the Greek Septuagint name of that book or not. So I don't know that.
Gotcha.
But it's where ecclesiology comes from.
Oh, okay.
So that's the study of the church.
Yeah.
So anyway, and you may have seen there's lots of things called ecclesia, you know, related to Christianity. Mm-hmm. So there's a strong argument biblically that God takes a firm hand in what's happening. That said, it's gone off the rails a bit with this notion that almost no Christian believes at this stage, called double predestination, which is if God chooses some for salvation, God must then by necessity choose others for damnation.
Right.
Most Christians have rejected this. It's only a small handful of what I would say are Calvinist. Even though Calvin talked about it as a natural outflow of his theology, it wasn't a central piece, but it became that way in Calvinism.
Okay.
So this is all kind of like lectury, but it gets to the foundation of the question.
Yeah.
So in our current context here in America, we don't like to think of anything as not being our choice.
Right.
Everything was our choice.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this is a fallacy.
Okay.
Like almost nothing was our choice
in
the sense that we think of it being our choice.
Yeah.
That if everything were our choice and we were free to make whatever decision we wanted, there wouldn't be advertising.
Right? Okay. Yeah.
So anyway, I think it's very complicated. The Lutherans have come down on a position where it's a both, right? Like there's some people that God's like, listen, I don't care what you think. Like Paul, like James and John.
Yeah.
I don't care what you think. There's other people who are like, you know, this seems appealing. And I'll come along and be a part of this.
Right.
You know, we think of maybe people that Jesus healed who then went off and proclaimed the gospel or some of the cadre of kind of followers that went along with the apostles, you know, prior to the crucifixion. Mm-hmm. People in the early church, you know, it'll talk about Peter preaching a sermon and then there were like 3,000 new believers, right? Like, so those, you know, I that's the one I feel most comfortable with because at the end of the day, whether you believe you chose it or you believe God calls you, it's God, regardless, who's doing the work.
Right. Yeah.
So either way, you know, we love to draw these hard and fast lines, but I don't think Scripture gives us that in related to salvation. I don't like the argument that somehow predestination is not biblical. I think I just laid that out fairly clearly, starting in the Old Testament all the way through Paul. But I understand why people would think something else, and I don't think that's heretical.
Okay,
you know, and if it helps you in your faith to think you chose it, or it helps you in your faith to feel as though you were called out,
right?
What's it really matter? Because it's still your faith, right?
Exactly,
and it's still your relationship with God, and it's still your church that you're a part of. So it doesn't, you know, I'm the wrong guy for flame wars on this sort of thing because I'm just like, if Jesus saves, like the neon sign says it, Jesus saves. So what are we talking about? Either way, we're ending up at the same spot. Jesus saves.
Exactly. No, I agree. I think, well, and there's so many different paths branching off from what you said that I want to take, but one I want to jump into real quick that you didn't quote and how dare you not quote Jeremiah, where I know you, I formed you.
Mm-hmm. Formed you in the womb.
Yeah, so every graduation has heard this.
Right.
So looking at that, is that predestinational? Or is the Bible speaking about something differently here?
Well, and how broadly do you want to take it? Because I think in that sentence, in that context, now correct me here, he's talking to Jeremiah.
Yeah.
Do we universalize that?
We do. All the time.
All the time. But like, do we do that correctly?
No.
Right? I don't know.
I don't.
I mean, like, do I believe Would it be outside of my comfort zone to say that you could universalize that? Mm-hmm. No, it wouldn't. I would be comfortable saying, if I believe God's all-knowing, mm-hmm. then it's an easy statement to affirm. Within Scripture, Jeremiah plays a very unique role in the history mm-hmm. of faith in the world. And so, on the other hand, you know, putting that in front of him, that's an interesting question to me as well. How much do you generalize and how much is specific to where you're overhearing essentially a conversation between Jesus and this person or God to this person?
Yeah.
And then how much of it is like, no, this is for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's
a tough call. Well, how many times do we do that daily with everything in our lives? Mm-hmm. I feel like generalizing is just something mm-hmm. that has become a norm.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not be elsewhere, but mm-hmm. it definitely right. is where we mm-hmm. live. And I have to speak from experience. So, pardon me if I always say growing up, growing up, my family was always in church, mm-hmm. and growing up, we went to an evangelical church, and so it was, prophecy was a huge deal,
mm-hmm.
and so I'd been prophesied over my whole life, and so talking about being chosen versus wanting it, mm-hmm. so to speak, it really strikes a chord with me because I feel personally that I've never had a choice
mm-hmm.
when it comes to being a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, backing up a bit and looking at it broader, I never had a choice in heaven or hell or any other afterlife because it was always just heaven.
Right.
And I don't want to sound like it's kind of a tough road because for this, I feel like this is where we kind of get into the weeds on some things because does that mean entire countries of people that have a different religion
mm-hmm.
are predestined to go to hell?
Mm-hmm.
Because let's say someone in the Middle East who is of the Muslim faith, does that mean that Jesus said, well, mm-hmm. this area over here, God bless America, mm-hmm. but this area over here just isn't gonna. I just don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that? How am I so favored in my life, and I'm chosen because I was born in a. I don't want to get too granular, but you know, a conservative family in a Pentecostal church, and we're the only ones making it to heaven, which isn't mm-hmm. necessarily. Mm-hmm. True, but it's mm-hmm. that's basically how it was. How do we know what's right? Because people in other parts of the world believe they're right just as much mm-hmm. as my family and your family or whoever we're talking about believes that they're right, that they were the lucky ones that found something. So how do you know? And both of us, I believe, grew up in church. So it's not like we're talking about someone who was converted.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you know if you're right or if God loves people that we wouldn't want living next door to us?
Mm-hmm. Again, let me ask you this. What do you mean by know? When you say how do we know, what do you mean by define know for me?
I want to be sure of everything. Mm-hmm. So when I say do we know, are we 100% correct
mm-hmm.
in saying that mm-hmm. someone who grew up in a different country mm-hmm. and believes in a different God is going to hell?
Mm-hmm.
Can we be sure of that?
Mm-hmm.
How do I look someone in the eye when they're telling me that, well, they just, those poor Muslims have no clue what they're talking about. And I can't believe they're all going to hell. Is there a way to talk back to that
mm-hmm.
that is different than just saying, yep, sorry to be them?
Yeah. So pluralism, which is what you're talking about.
Pluralism.
Is a uniquely, word of the day. Yeah, it's a uniquely modern problem. We didn't used to really have a pluralism problem like this because everybody's existence was so small.
Okay.
It was until we had a global mindset, which everybody now does, even if you aren't a globalist or whatever, mm-hmm. you have a global mindset. you're aware of what's happening around the world to some degree, and you have some idea that there's people who live in a place that you don't. Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah. Other than the next village or the country across the mountains.
Right.
So this question, I think, is one, I mean, I don't spend a lot of time on it. Like, you probably never heard me preach a sermon on this before.
Not that I can remember. Yeah.
No, because it's not mine. Like, salvation mm-hmm. doesn't belong to me. Like, now, I do have a role as a Christian to speak from truth. I mean, I believe this stuff.
Right.
And it's true. Mm-hmm. I mean, I believe that it is true. But I don't have the right then to take that to the next step and say, because I believe this is true, that automatically means for sure that you're wrong.
Right.
That's not mine.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly salvation's not mine. As far as I know, as we've already covered in the podcast, it comes through Jesus.
Yes.
So that belongs to Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's Jesus's property.
Okay.
To me. The idea of saying these people are in. Mm-hmm. Now, how is that power exercised in the New Testament? It's different ways, right? Like the most common conception of this is what? Is in John 3.
Okay.
What's that? Everybody who believes in me
and calls upon my name?
Yeah, even though they die, mm-hmm. shall live. Right? So that's the 3:16, right? That's the one the guy held up at all the football games.
Yeah.
That's the one everybody talks about. Everybody believes in me. Call it, you know, even though they die, shall live. And we've defined belief as like a very narrow path. Like mm-hmm. you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, confess your sins, and are baptized. And that's the equation that we believe. That there's nothing to that biblically, mm-hmm. by the way. That's just a construct.
Right.
But that's the idea that we're taking.
Okay.
On the other hand, if you built your understanding of Jesus' choice around like Matthew 25,
mm-hmm.
the sheep and the goats, where people are separated based on how they treat the least people in their society,
yeah.
it's a different means of sorting. If you go again and you quote Paul, who, I can't remember which letter, every knee shall bend and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and stand before judgment. So like in that scenario, everybody's confessing, right? So the Bible is not univocal.
Mm.
In how salvation actually works.
Okay.
We prioritize some passages over the other, but it doesn't say to us, this is exactly how it works, and then repeat that throughout Scripture and throughout the New Testament. What it does teach us is that every single scenario we come up with, mm-hmm. Jesus is the judge.
That makes sense.
Well, that one we got.
Yeah.
Jesus is the judge. And what's that tell me? I ain't.
Right. So we can take that role of responsibility mm-hmm. off and mm-hmm. just put it to the side. Yeah. Kind of like we talked about last week.
Right.
Of we don't have to judge.
Not my problem.
It's not our responsibility.
Not my problem. It is my problem to be clear about who I am.
Mm-hmm.
It's my problem to be clear about what I believe. It's also my problem to love my neighbor. It's also my problem to do that by thinking of the parable of the Good Samaritan.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that parable significant, Stephen? Because it's about a Samaritan,
mm-hmm.
not a Jewish person.
Right.
A person who the Jews all thought was trash.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what makes it remarkable. And now you can't go to a city in the country without hearing about the Good Samaritan Clinic or the Good Samaritan Food Bank or the Good Samaritan Homeless Shelter.
Right.
Samaritans were the absolute garbage heap of humanity for the Jews. And Jesus used a Samaritan as a model for a good neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
So he's deconstructing that exact thing you're talking about of this kind of tribalist mindset of like, my tribe is right, your tribe is wrong. Mm-hmm. Paul goes a step further by bringing in all the pagans
mm-hmm.
who don't have to get circumcised, who don't have to keep kosher. My dogs are enjoying the podcast. Anyway, so that's why I say, like, yeah. I can sit here till the cows come home and say, these people are in or these people out. I have no power mm-hmm. to say that. I have all the power in the world to say, Jesus is the judge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I got. That's all I got. You know?
Yeah.
Like, you're married, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's lots of things you could say in your household.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that they're going to happen, does it?
No.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
don't
I
even can, have to think about
that's
that.
That's right. I can say all I want to about certain things in my household.
Yeah.
Does not mean that they're going to be reality because it's not my power.
Right.
I don't exercise power in that way, and my household doesn't function that way. Our faith doesn't give us the power.
Okay. Well, that brings me to a point. Faith.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you're talking about... I'm going through my head of things like rebuttals mm-hmm. against things. So if you're saying that, basically what I'm trying to get at is, do you have enough faith to believe that you are 100% correct? Earlier you were mm-hmm. talking about, I'm not 100% sure that I can say for mm-hmm. certain that this is the truth. Mm-hmm. And so I believe it, but I can't say for 100% certain mm-hmm. that this is the way. If I were to say that to someone I grew up with, they would say, well, that's where faith comes in.
Mm-hmm.
So for you, and especially talking about predestination, mm-hmm. circling back mm-hmm. to the topic, especially when it comes to that, is it all about faith? Is that really just the answer in all of this? Is just have faith. God has it under control.
Yeah.
When it comes to other people, have faith that God knows what he's doing.
I think the good word is trust.
Mm.
I think it's a better word than faith when it comes to salvation.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Right. Like, do you trust that Jesus has it?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, do you trust that Jesus has it?
Yeah.
The character of Jesus has been revealed in the Gospels and in Scripture. There's not a lot of mystery
mm-hmm.
about his character and the type of Lord that he is.
Yeah.
So do I trust that he's going to handle that in a just way?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, even if I don't, what's it matter? Jesus is going to do what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what doctrine I have, no matter what belief I have,
yeah.
Jesus is going to do what he's going to do.
Okay.
It's like, you know, is it going to rain or not rain? Well, I believe it's going to rain. Does that affect whether or not it's going to rain or not rain?
No.
It has
no
impact.
It's going to do what it's going to do.
It affects whether or not I go outside. It affects whether or not I wear a raincoat. It affects mm-hmm. my behavior.
Right.
But it has no bearing on the rain.
Yeah.
Where this is why I don't understand what we're talking about with these conversations in America. Because I know where you're drawing this from.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, what are we talking about?
How does it draw such a hard line?
Yes. Like, what's it have to do with you?
It doesn't.
Like, no. It's Jesus's.
Right.
So let Jesus do his stuff.
Yeah.
And then you do your stuff.
Right.
Because I don't know how he's going to judge. I believe in Jesus. I trust him to judge and be just.
Right.
But that's his deal.
Mm-hmm.
My deal is how I'm going to live with that belief in my life and in my relationships, I'm pointing at you.
Hey.
Like, but I mean, that's mm-hmm. the question. If you believe Jesus is a wrathful, vengeful, angry God, mm-hmm. then you're going to live a faith that looks that way.
Oh, yeah.
If you are scared of Jesus, you're going to want other people to be scared of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
If you trust Jesus, then you don't have to worry
mm-hmm.
about, are people going to get their comeuppance, or, you know, is Jeffrey Epstein going to go to hell or whatever? You don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
Like, you trust Jesus, and either he is or he isn't. But if he isn't, Jesus has got something pretty spectacular worked out, and that'll be great.
Yeah.
You know, and then we'll be like, oh, well, we didn't expect to see you here.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, well, those were good questions, Stephen. We got into the deep end of the pool, I feel like.
Yeah, I think that I learned a lot today.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, the word of the day, everyone, pluralism.
Pluralism.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and ecclesia.
Ecclesia.
Ecclesia. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I should know that just because there was a Pentecostal Christian metal band
mm-hmm.
that I listened to growing up that had an album named that, and I pronounced it wrong until this moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So, yeah. But,
all right.
I've got another one for you coming up.
Oh.
You want to hear about it?
Yeah. You want a sneak preview of next week?
Yeah.
Let's
so, you were talking about the character of
mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
A man
mm-hmm.
who lived on the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk about men
oh,
in the Bible.
Okay. It's not going to be pretty.
No.
All right.
It never is.
Yep. Men are pigs, Stephen. We'll leave it there.
Mm-hmm.
Till next week, everybody. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye. Thanks for listening to the One Prez Pod. Please like and subscribe to the One Prez Pod wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us comments and follow us on social media at First Presbyterian Church's Facebook account. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, peace.